Well, you know, look, the Supreme Court today allowed North Dakota to continue its full voter ID law here in the midterms. Even though there's been a lot of confusion, even though a federal judge relaxed some of the requirements that were in place during the primary and the Secretary of State actually had put on their website, even though all of that was in place, the Supreme Court said, no, going back to the old draconian voter ID. Because, look, the only way the Republicans are going to hold on to power is if they steal this election. And voter purging and voter ID laws and all of the obstacles that they've put into place is the only way that they're going to be able to steal it, which is why I think it's important that we point out the fact that all across the country in Republican states, they're doing just that. And I looked at Georgia, where we've been talking about for a while, 591,000 people were booted off Georgia's voter rolls by the guy who's running for governor right now. Stop and think about if you could rig the rules yourself. If you could choose your own voters. That's why I've asked Greg Palast to come talk with us. Greg is the author of several New York Times bestsellers, including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and Armed Madhouse. You know Greg through his investigations with the BBC Television, The Guardian, Democracy Now!, and Rolling Stone. Palast released the post-election update to his film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, The Case of the Stolen Election, which you can now get on Amazon and Amazon Prime or at gregpalast.com. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, glad to be with you.
591,000 people get booted off the rolls, and you have their names.
That's right. If you're in Georgia and you're listening to this, you have a couple of hours still to re-register to vote if you're on this purge list. Now, let me tell you, and I have released the names. I've threatened the Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, with a federal lawsuit unless he gave me the names of all the purge voters and the reason each one was removed from the voter roll, which is required under federal law. I gave him a 90-day notice, which is required by the law. On the 89th day, he gave me his office gave in and gave me the list. You know, they still withheld some information. They're still playing games with me, but I threw up the list. That was just a couple days ago. First, I had it analyzed by computer experts to see whether there were errors on the list, and the answer is that most of the list is an error. 591,000 people should not be removed from the voter rolls, and not even half of that number could be verified. They were about 534,000 were accused of having, not accused, but they were supposedly identified as having left the state or moved out of their congressional district. It's a lie.
Right.
We actually got some of the top database experts in the United States, and we signed a contract with the post office to investigate, and they said those people are still at their registered addresses.
So why'd they pick those 591,000 or those people? Why'd they throw them off the list?
They received a postcard from the office, which looks like from the Secretary of State. That's Brian Kemp, who's running for office himself. You get this postcard, if you get it. I mean, he claims he sent these postcards out. If you didn't return the postcard, which looks like junk mail, I have a copy of it. You know, it just looks like junk mail. You throw it out. And if you throw it out and then you skip the last 14 and 16 elections, a lot of people in Georgia did, you lose your vote and your chance to vote in this very hot election between Stacey Abrams, the Democrat, and Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State. And so this is what's driving people to the polls, and they're finding that they are going to find out on November 6th that they can't vote. So what I did was I held with the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference at Martin Luther King's organization, at Martin Luther King's old headquarters, with the Reverend Jesse Jackson and others. We held a press conference telling people to go to gregpalast.com. In fact, if you're in Georgia, you should do that right this minute, gregpalast.com. Put in your first name, your last name, your zip code. You'll get back your name back with your own, with your entire home address or and name similar to yours. If you see your name and address on there, you ain't voting. That's 1 in 10 voters. You have 3 hours.
Yeah.
To re-register right now. You have 3 hours to re-register. You can vote November 6th. Otherwise, you're out of luck because they will, if you show up, they'll give you a provisional ballot. And, Rick, that's what I call a placebo ballot. It lets you think you voted, but you haven't.
Nobody ever counts those. So 1 in 10, I mean, that's an enormous number.
Enormous.
And you got to wonder, you know, were these people, you know, targeted specifically for a reason? How many people were sent these postcards? How did they come up with this scheme?
Well, and also I should say I just put up the same list for Indiana today, where, again, you have 3 hours. If you're in the eastern, Indiana's split between eastern and central.
Right.
4 hours if you're in central, 3 hours if you're in eastern. Go to gregpalace.com. We'll check on the Indiana list, first name, last name, and see if you're purged. I know, for example, in Indiana, at least a minimum of 20,000 were removed in violation of a federal court order. Now, how did this happen? Let's start with Indiana, in fact. And again, go to gregpalace.com. If you're in Indiana, you're listening, very important, and you got 3 hours or 4 hours to register, re-register. That's it. Here's the thing. Those 20,000 we know are illegally removed because a federal court told the state of Indiana, you are not going to use the Chris Kobach Interstate Cross-Check List. I've talked about this thing on your program before. Chris Kobach of Kansas. If you can't remember that name, just think KKK. He is the guy who is Donald Trump's fraudulent voter hunter. That's the guy that Trump is in charge of his little vote fraud commission that imploded. But he's also the Secretary of State of Kansas, in charge of the voter rolls there. He's also running for governor while he's in charge of the voter rolls and in charge of where you vote and how you vote. And it's a very tight race, by the way. It's neck and neck between him and the Democrat in Kansas. Because even though it's a Republican state, he's pretty much hated by a lot of Republicans in Kansas.
So as he should be. I mean,
it's neck and neck. But here's the thing. He, by the way, this is not a small thing. He won his primary supposedly by 300 votes. That's it, against the sitting Republican governor. The Republican governor sent him a letter saying, "My God, man, you're the Secretary of State. You're refusing to count provisional ballots where people are voting for me." 10,000 provisional ballots in a Republican primary in Kansas. He threw out 1,000 absentee ballots coming out of his opponent's district, absentee ballots on the grounds that their signatures didn't match their registration signatures. Those are fraudulent ballots. If there are 1,000 fraudulent ballots, go out and arrest the fraudsters, right? He's not doing that because he knows it's a phony,
right?
But he disqualified those ballots. So basically, you have to understand, this guy wouldn't count his opponent's ballots, and so he won the Republican primary by 300 votes. That's why in a very, very red state, he is neck and neck. It's a dead-even race with the Democrat because so many Republicans will not vote for this vote thief. But you know what? I have no sympathy for those Republicans who got their votes stolen because they went along with this guy when he was stealing Democratic votes. Then he sends lists. This same Chris Kobach sent lists to Indiana, sent lists to Georgia, sent lists to 20 other states. I've hit all those states with lawsuit threats unless they came up with their, and about half have come up with their files open and their hands up. And Indiana was told, you may not use this list. What they were doing is they were taking Chris Kobach's list, doing no checking other than, you know, they were just sending people one of these postcards. Oh, you're on this Chris Kobach. It doesn't even say, by the way, you've been identified by Chris Kobach. By the way, the trick is he's saying people have moved out of their state.
Right.
Chris Kobach of Kansas said you have moved out of Indiana. you know, if you don't return this card, you're going to lose your vote. I mean, it's not that blunt. It just says, please confirm your voting address, whatever that means. It's kind of confusing. It looks like junk mail. 80% of people who get the card throw it away. And here's the thing, is that the way he identifies people who've moved, he uses their Chris Kobach, sent the list to Indiana and Georgia and other states. He uses the first name and the last name of the voter, and that is it. I want to repeat that. That is it. So, for example, in Georgia, he found, believe it or not, 347 guys named James Brown. And believe it or not, he found guys named James Brown in Detroit and in Ohio and in Michigan and, you know, in Pennsylvania. He found these voters of James Brown's in other states. They all got postcards. And if they didn't return the postcards, and often if they missed an election or two, they would throw them off the voter rolls and say, see, these guys have moved. Now, I want to tell you, I got the list from Georgia. They stonewalled me, and I got the list anyway from inside their office. And I'm telling you, hundreds of just the James Browns, most of those James Browns, the middle name didn't even match. It was like James Thomas Brown, James right. Edward Brown, James Brown Jr., James Brown Sr., supposed to be the same voter. So now why does that matter? Because the 85 of the 100 most common last names in America, according to the census, are minority names. That is Garcia, Rodriguez, Brown, Jackson, Kim, Lee, Chung, etc.
So are you saying they target those names specifically when they're looking at these lists?
Absolutely. And because of that weird algorithm that they use, and we're not guessing. We've actually measured, we've run the names through our database people and demographic experts have run the names through the computers, and way, way, way out of proportion are black voters, Hispanic voters, and Asian American voters, who, by the way, once voted Republican, now they're voting 75% Democratic, so that now they're the new targeted group. Also, when you send out a postcard, it's a really neat trick, as our experts in junk mail tell us, because, you know, junk mailers live and die by postcards. They will tell you, and the Census Bureau has tracked this. Census Bureau says if you send a postcard to a white, suburban, older homeowner, the chance you'll get the card, the government will get that card back from the government, from the white, suburban, older homeowner, is at least 500% higher, five times higher than sending that card to a young, black renter in an urban area. And a lot of it, by the way, is not even, you know, oh, well, young people don't know what a postcard is. Like, where's the hyperlink? But they move. Like, my kids are students. And if they get one of these cards, they're moving dorm rooms. They're moving, you know, and you don't have to, by the way, this is very, very important. Brian Kemp had 159,000 people who just basically moved down the street. We found one woman who lost her vote because she moved from one end of her building to another, two apartments in the same building. That's illegal. You don't have to re-register or confirm your address or do anything just because you've moved down the street. You have to leave your congressional district or leave the state to require you to re-register. Right. And again, who moves? It's low-income people. It's young people. It's students. That's who moves. And they may not get the card, which is very common. And they shouldn't get the card even if they did move, if they just moved, you know, within a city. Like, I was just in Atlanta. We just had all these people moving from one end of Atlanta to another, down the street. A woman named Stacey, not Stacey Abrams running for governor, but Stacey Hopkins. And she just moved a few streets away, and she got a card saying, please confirm that you've moved. It's like your voting address and re-register. And she's like, what? I just moved two blocks. She was smart. She got the ACLU on her case and got her name back on. But there are thousands, tens of thousands, and I'm saying hundreds of thousands of people in Georgia. If you go to gregpals.com, you'll see me try to ask Mr. Kemp about this. He refused to grant me an interview. Why are you removing voters? Why are you removing black voters? Are you removing black voters and targeting them as the only way you can beat Stacey Abrams? So I tracked his campaign bus to this little town of Noonan. That's the name of Noonan outside of Atlanta, and to a barbecue joint, and try to ask him. And he had some of these Smokies. He had his little retinue of state cops grab me and throw me off the property. He wouldn't answer my question. And by the way, their excuse was that the owner said that he wanted me thrown off the property. In fact, the owner then told the local paper, I never said such a thing. I don't throw people off my property, you know.
And, it's bad for business.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, so Kemp is just trying to avoid answering these questions.
Well, he's trying to steal the election. I mean, look, you know, what criminal is going to want his secret to get out?
It's so clear that the only way this guy can win, because the polls are showing it dead even, maybe Stacey Abrams has the momentum and the excitement.
Yeah, but you can get 10%. You can kick 10% of the people off the rolls, Greg. That gives you a huge leg up.
Yeah, and one of huge. And it's sad because, like, I just spoke with a I was in Savannah, Georgia. And there's an Afghanistan war veteran, a Marine, who, he served in Afghanistan, comes back, he votes for Obama in 8 and 12. He skips 14 and 16. He wasn't excited by his choices. And now he's ready to vote for Stacey Abrams, and he went to my website, thegregpalace.com, he typed in his name, and saw that because he has a seriously African American name, like his first name is Dewan, and he has lost his vote, a war veteran, and so he at least could re-register in time. And again, if you're in Indiana, if you're in Georgia, go to gregpalace.com, see if your name's on the purge list. If it is, re-register. Like, you got till midnight, man.
Yeah,
that's it.
But, you know, this isn't the first time that George has had these kind of things. And, you know, I looked just a couple of months ago, we were talking about Randolph County, where they wanted to close, I think, all but one of the voting locations in the entire county. And it's one of the poorest counties in the state, overwhelmingly African-American. And their argument was, well, you know, those places didn't live up to the Americans with Disability Act.
Well, by the way, Brian Kemp, the white candidate for governor, and when I say white candidate, I went to his rally. It's the candidate for it's for the white party, as far as I could tell. At least that's what the rally looked like. He was behind that. He sent out his consultants to every county. And one thing that the national press missed, they did pick up that story about Kemp trying to close the polling stations in Randolph County, a black county. He got stopped there because the Randolph County Commission is mostly African American, and they said, "Go fly, buddy. You know, if we have to add a ramp to a polling station, that's what we'll do. We're not going to close it." But what wasn't mentioned that his consultants fanned out and successfully got white-controlled counties to close polling stations in black areas. Now, I saw this happen in Georgia's 6th congressional district. Which, if you remember, was the location, that very hot race between John Ossoff and Karen Handel, where the nation was shocked that a Democrat in the first round got 48% of the vote. They swiped it away from him, and part of the way that they took it away from Ossoff, and now Handel is fighting for her life in this election again, and fighting the way that Republicans do. They have been closing the polling stations in the Atlanta part of the district. It runs from Atlanta to Alpharetta, and the Atlanta area are African American, Asian American, in other words, they're Democratic, and those are where they're closing polling stations. It's raw in Georgia. The other trick that Kemp is doing, and by the way, when I tell people to register by midnight, the reason you can is you can do it online. And you have to do it online for a very, very good reason. If you, there's a group called New Georgia Project, which is a not-for-profit group that registered 80,000 people by having to fill out those yellow forms that you see for registration. Bad idea. Never, never use those. Even in semi-honest states, they take their sweet time and they may never add your name to the roll. In Georgia, this group put in 80,000 names. Only 40,000 ended up on the voter rolls. And the state claims that they don't know where those other 40,000 registrations went.
They circular filed them.
Well, the group kept photocopies of those registrations. And their response was to threaten the organization, the people, the volunteer registration people, with arrest for making photocopies of state documents. Can you believe it? So in other words, they were going to arrest the people gathering signatures because they had evidence of Brian Kemp's crimes of actually literally deep-sixing the registration of 40,000 voters. Please go online. Do not, in any state, don't send
No, because you have actual proof of it. But, you know, look, we've heard almost everything. I'm not saying everything because I'm sure the Republicans will think of new ways to steal your vote. I go back to J. Kenneth Blackwell in 2004 with the 80-weight paper thing. No voter registrations, unless it's that old-fashioned 80-weight paper. So that, again, one of those things. But here's the thing that gets me, Greg. You know, we're today started a new era where we now have the Kavanaugh Court. And you look at what happened in North Dakota, and I don't – Kavanaugh wasn't a part of that. But I guarantee he will be deciding the next voter case to come before the court. And I don't think anything positive comes of it. So this is one of these moments in history where I think we have to be much more militant about our vote. And I've been fairly lax myself because I vote in every election. So I just assume that it's always going to be that I'll be able to vote. And this year I had to check as well.
I'm going to tell you, okay, Indiana 1 in 9 voters have been removed. Georgia 1 in 10 voters have been removed, all without notice. These are all done in 2017. They don't send you a card. They don't send you notice. You go. And by the way, if you have a common name, if you missed the 16 election because, you know, a lot of people are in states that's already decided, you know, it's either New York for that's locked for the Democrats, or you're in, you're in Mississippi, locked for the Republicans. So people don't, you know, will skip an election. They say my vote doesn't count. Well, my friend, if you skip an election, you probably got a postcard in the mail that you didn't notice. You skip that election, you don't answer the postcard, you're out, okay? Yeah. Or you're on what's called inactive status. They may require extra ID. Please, especially if you're in Indiana and Georgia, where re-registration closes tonight, in about 10 states it closes tonight, but you can still go online. Please go to your Secretary of State's website or Board of Elections website. Look for your name. Almost every state has an online registry. If you're not there, and I don't care if you voted in the same place for 30 years, people are shocked. They say, I've been voting forever at the same place. No problem. This year, look. Especially if your name is Jackson or Brown or Rodriguez or Garcia, you'd better look. If you missed a vote, if you didn't vote in 14, you didn't vote in 16, you'd better take a look because this is the new thing that the Republicans are using. And I say the Republicans. Yeah, there's some and let me tell you, I've gone after Democratic vote thieves too. I'm nonpartisan.
That's a bipartisan thing.
But there's no question that at the current moment, the Republicans are the real champs when it comes to vote purging, vote blocking, taking away your registration, playing games with your vote. Please check your registration. Re-register if you have to. And if you're not sure, just go on that site. It'll say whether you're registered. I mean, and by the way, I know someone. I was shocked when Greg Palast, me, I went to the California site, and it said no such voter. So I re-registered on the spot. This is true. I was doing this on a TV show. I wanted to show people how easy it is to check your registration. So I said, oh, here's mine. I was not there, okay? I was not there. I hunted it down. I found out there was a cockamamie paper mistake, and that's what happened. So please, and especially in those states like Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana, these are states, and Michigan, look out, Michigan. They're out to make sure that you don't vote. So that's the other thing is don't steal. And then, you know what? A lot of people say, oh, there's no sense voting. They're going to steal my vote. No. Don't steal your own vote because I'm going to tell you this. They can't steal all the votes all the time. And when I was working, if you know Greg Palast, I also write with Bobby Kennedy for Rolling Stone. And we did a piece and he just called up. Kennedy could do something I can't. He could call up Obama when he was president and say, you know about all, you know, he started describing some of the vote theft. Obama knew all about it. But Obama's view was that, look, just overwhelm them. You know, you can't win 51%. You got to win 56%. So don't whine. Go out and overwhelm them.
No.
I think you still have to fight the steal. But the number one way to fight the steal is, as Jesse Jackson, who is my co-plaintiff against the state of Illinois, says, arrive with five. All your five friends.
There you go. Excellent advice, and I hope folks will take a look at gregpalace.com, make sure that their name has not been purged and that they're able to vote this November 6th, because this is, as a lot of people have been saying, the election of a lifetime. Greg, I appreciate the work. I appreciate the time. Keep up the fight. I look forward to talking to you again.
You got it, Rick. You're the best.
Good stuff, Greg Palast. Make sure you check out the website, gregpalast.com. We'll make sure we get links out at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. This is why.